So this is our second class in the series Feldenkrais Method to Increase Mobility. And last time we got introduced to the basic quality and format of an awareness through movement lesson and some of the goals. We got familiar with our chairs and what we should or should not be doing with our chairs. And the real spirit of the lesson was to feel where our feet are and to feel where our head is, because while we're walking around as human beings, coordinating what our feet are doing with respect to our head, that's a major challenge towards being mobile. And we've debriefed a little bit how that went for people, and we find ourselves again in our chairs. So, how are you sitting today? What is good sitting? That was one of the trains of thought that we explored last time. If a person presents you with a chair and says to sit in it, do you feel like you need to put your back onto the back of the chair? Do you feel like you need to sit with your legs in a particular way? What are your habits regarding sitting, and how are they showing up right now? We're gonna take a minute or two to condense all the previous lesson into a few simple movements so that we can get refreshed with where we left off, because we're gonna build on top of the last lesson today. And it's not like the whole series will be cumulative in this sense, but especially given how slow we went at the start last time, it doesn't hurt to pick things up and try to run a little further today. So go ahead and come to a place on your chair where your feet can rest on the floor, and try to have your back not in contact with the back of the chair to the extent that that's comfortable for you. And so your back is being supported entirely by you. You can feel your pelvis contacting the chair. You can feel your two footprints, your left and right footprints on the floor. Go ahead and visualize your two footprints to the extent that it's accessible for you. And then go ahead and lift, let's say, the right foot just slightly off the floor. Make the minimal effort to lift your right foot from the floor and then put it back down again. And play with this movement many times. Watching how that footprint disappears. Do you lift the heel of the foot more first, or the ball of the foot more? Try to get it clear that you're taking the right knee in the direction of the ceiling. You're lifting the foot upward. And again, it doesn't have to go high off the floor, just a centimeter or two. And feel where else you move. Do you feel your pelvis shifting its contact with the chair? Do you feel your head shifting in space? What is your head doing as you lift the foot? Are you coordinating this with your breathing at all? It's okay if you are, it's okay if you're not. Just check in, what am I doing? Am I always lifting on an inhale? Am I holding my breath as I lift? Holding your breath would be an example of an unnecessary effort. So to the extent that you can keep your breathing easy and unencumbered while you do any of these movements, that should be implicitly the goal. is always to make the movements lighter and more effortless. Have the image of a casual gesture, not like you're throwing a ball to hit a target, but like you're throwing it over your shoulder casually, like you don't care where it goes. Have a kind of carefree, light attitude with how you're lifting your foot. And then let it rest on the floor. And compare your two footprints again. Does anything change in how you visualize your footprints from that simple, deliberate movement you just did? Go and try it again, this time on the left foot. Just lifting the left foot towards the ceiling, really in the direction so that the knee would go towards the ceiling. And how little can you lift the foot from the floor? Can you lift it just a centimeter, a half a centimeter? In the first millimeter of foot that goes away from the floor, is it more the front of the foot or the back of the foot that's traveling? You feel like your head's involved in the same way as before? And let that foot rest again. Again, begin lifting the right foot, but this time keep the distance between the right big toe and the nose kind of constant, and let yourself roll backward on your pelvis a little bit as you do this. So it's like you're tilting your entire self backwards. It's as you lift the right foot from the floor, you lean backwards so that the head stays the same distance from the foot. And you feel it was that image of a broomstick between your big toe and your nose, so that as you lift the foot, it invites the head to roll backward, but it's doing that through moving more or less all of you backward. And I'd like you to notice how the weight is transferring on your pelvis as you do this. As you lift the right foot from the floor and you take the head backward the same amount, it makes your entire torso lean backward, but not straight backward, is it? It's backward and a little bit to the left. Try to feel how the weight shifts on your pelvis as you do this. You're lifting the foot and putting it down many times. Linda, you're putting the foot down. You're putting the foot down and then you're lifting it again.
Oh, okay, so the back of the foot too.
The whole foot.
Okay.
The whole foot goes on the ground. Mm-hmm. And when you lift the foot, the head goes back to keep the distance between the foot and the head constant. And you do that ideally by rolling on the pelvis so that there's not really movement in the neck, there's not really movement in the spine. If someone walked up to you and you just held your shape rigid and they leaned you backward, they put one hand and picked up the leg and the other hand and pushed your shoulder, then the person could just reorient you in the seat. And after you've found that movement, go ahead and find it with the other leg. Lift the left leg from the floor and notice how your weight rolls onto the right half of your pelvis if you take the head back with the foot. And because it's all connected, you could do the whole thing the other way. You could take your head backward and try to keep the foot a fixed distance to the head. And as you take the head backward and to the right, the left foot will be invited to come off the floor. You'll roll onto the right half of your pelvis. Maybe come more forward on the chair. That's good. Have a rest. Lean back in your chair or do whatever you want. So really rest. Now come back to the way you were just sitting. And again, lift the right foot from the floor just in the simplest way you can. You don't need to imitate the movement we just did, but if you like it, then you can use it. You can lift the foot, initiating the movement from the knee. You could lift the foot, initiating the movement from the head. You could lean the head backward, and it will take the right foot off the floor a little bit if you keep all the other muscles, all the other distances in a fixed relationship. And again, feel how your pelvis is on the chair as you do this. It's possible that as you lift the right foot, you don't feel a shift in your seat. And if you're doing this leaning movement, then it's very unlikely that you don't feel a shift in your seat and you're feeling the pelvis move with every time that you lift your foot. Go ahead and lift the right foot with the intention that you're going to transfer some of the weight onto the left part of the pelvis. And there's lots of ways to accomplish this. So go ahead and try to do it a few different ways. The only instruction is to lift the right foot in a way that helps you shift the weight onto the left side of your pelvis. So the movement we were doing that we've been developing will help with that. But you're going to be shifting it to the left and back if you lean the head backward the way I described. So there's many other planes you can play with where you go more directly sideways as you lift the right foot. Don't worry too much about the foot. Think about how you're shifting the weight onto the left side of your pelvis. You can think about lifting the right half of your pelvis off the seat a little bit as you lift the right foot and see if those ideas connect in any coherent way for you. And before you pause from this exploration, make sure you check in with where your head is moving. And then pause like this with both of your feet resting on the floor. Check in with your footprints. Visualize your footprints. And begin just tilting your head to the left. And back to center. There's lots of ways to tilt your head to the left. You could tilt your head to the left by making your left ear come closer to your left shoulder. You can tilt to the left by letting your left shoulder get closer to your left hip. You can tilt to the left by taking your right half of the pelvis away from the chair. And it will tilt your entire torso to the left. Find some of those options for yourself. Always looking for the comfortable, easy way to move. Always looking to let go of extra effort in the eyes, in the jaw, in the breathing. Now, let your head come to the left as you lift the right heel off the floor. And put those two movements together in the simplest way possible for you. You're lifting the right heel from the floor, you're rolling onto the left half of your pelvis, and your head's coming to the left as you do that. And there's still many ways that you can put this together for yourself. Let that go. Have another rest. When you're ready, come back to the position we were just in. With your 2 feet on the floor and you're a little bit forward on the chair. And lift the left foot now, simply. Feel where your weight transfers as you lift the left foot. You feel the weight rolling over to the right half of the pelvis, or maybe you don't. There's lots of ways to do it. Just notice how you first approach it. Notice what your head is doing as you do this. As you lift the left foot, is your head moving a little to the left or a little to the right to facilitate the movement? There is not a right answer. And again, leave your feet on the floor. Check in with your 2 footprints. And see how quiet your feet can be as you tilt your head to the right and back to center. You can tilt your head to the right many ways. You might want to explore some of them. You can take the right ear closer to the right shoulder and back to center. You can take the right shoulder closer to the right hip. Folding your ribs. Side bending. And you can take the head to the right by lifting the left buttock away from the seat. Lifting the left half of your pelvis away from the seat so that your entire upper half tilts to the right. And when you do that, you could tilt the pelvis from moving the foot, from lifting the foot, but you could also find a way to lift the left half of the pelvis away from the chair without your feet changing their pressure very much. And let that go. When you're ready to go again, come into this position we've been in and lift the right heel again. Just the right heel. Lift the right heel and put it back down. And then add in directing your head to the left as you do this. And find how you want to put that together for yourself right now. It could be more of a leaning or tilting movement of the upper half, or it could be more of a side bending movement of the upper half. And you can blend between those two things. And then begin directing your head towards the right as you lift the right heel. And find a way to put that together smoothly and in a coordinated way. It's probably more clear of an ask of side bending. You might visualize the ribs on your right side getting closer to each other. You might picture your entire rib cage sliding down a little bit closer to the left side of your pelvis. Well, I'm sorry, to the right side, you're lifting the right side. And after you've checked in with that and you feel connected with it, pause again. And don't worry about the anatomically correct top of your head. Go ahead and touch with your right hand the part of your head that is closest to the ceiling. Go ahead and find it. Maybe feel around there for the highest point. Okay, yeah, that's fine. And if it's uncomfortable to reach higher, then find any point to landmark where your head is. And it's more about showing yourself where your head is. So you don't have to hold it on that point. You can continue to touch around the back of your head to fill out that image and confirm that you found the highest point or that you found, a real surface that you can begin to visualize, like the whole roundness of the back of your head would be another good thing to check in with, and don't do anything uncomfortable. If it's uncomfortable to have your hand here, then just visualize what I'm describing. It's more about locating where your head is at this point than anything else. And then resume this movement of taking the head towards the right as you lift the right heel. You can leave the hand there or you can let it go. But really try to visualize as much of your head as possible. This heavy bowling ball balanced on top of your spine. Can you visualize how that entire object is moving? And we're lifting the right heel and we're taking the head to the right. So it's like if there was a string between your right ear and your right heel, it's like that string is getting shorter. And we're lifting the heel and tilting the head as one action. We're not holding the heel off the floor. We're lifting it as we begin to bend to the right. And then as we put it down, we're coming back to center and feeling ourselves more or less vertical. So So make sure you're not holding the tilt to one side continuously. We're not trying to stretch. We're trying to feel what it's like to initiate this movement. And maybe let your hands come down, because for some of us, we're holding our heads in a tilt because we have our hand there persistently. So if you're not sure if your head is tilting, open your eyes. Notice whether or not your head is tilted one way or another. Feel your spine vertically in gravity, and then initiate the movement again. And you don't need to have your hand on the head at all. You can just take the right heel away from the floor and take the ear a little bit closer to it. One movement. Does the right half of your pelvis come away from the chair as you do this? If it doesn't, begin adding that in. So as you lift your right heel, you're also lifting the right buttock away from the chair. You're pivoting onto the left half of your pelvis as your right ear comes closer to the right heel. And as always, look to see if you're holding your breath. See if you're furrowing your brow, holding any tension in the jaw. Try to let go of all the unnecessary effort as you do this. Then have another rest. One of the reasons why we need to do things like this is that our skeleton is full of very irregular objects, and our self-concept is much simpler than our actual anatomy. And that's just part of the human condition, probably. It probably isn't just our culture. It's probably part of just our organism. That we feel more symmetrical left-right than we actually are, or our nervous system tries to represent us as more symmetrical than we actually are. We don't really carry a very detailed picture of our pelvis, our shoulder blades, all the details of our ribs. These are complicated structures and they're hard to visualize, and we don't walk around with these images. In this lesson, we're really focused on feeling where the pelvis is with respect to our feet and our head. But in a large way, the action isn't really about the pelvis. The action's about the ribs. And these movements we're doing right now are illuminating for our rib cage. If you have an image of something like an accordion bellows, or the bellows like that you would use to fan a fire, when one side of the bellows gets smaller, the other side gets longer. And if you picture an accordion going vertically, if you take the upper half and you take it to the right, then all the bellows on that side, the little ribs will get closer to each other and they'll fan out on the opposite side. And there's a lot of images you can build up towards, you know, trying to get a clearer idea of what's happening with your ribs. But when we side bend, that is one of the things that's happening, is that the ribs are getting closer to each other on the side we're bending towards. And conversely, they're getting further away from each other on the opposite side. So maybe hold that image of bellows, of an accordion, while we work on the other side. But at any rate, try to keep checking in with where your entire rib cage is, because especially on the back, especially the lower half of it, we lose track of it very easily. So go ahead and come back onto the front of your, you can come forward onto your chair and feel your feet on the floor as we've been doing. And now begin taking the left heel away from the floor. And to start off with, just do that. Just how simply can you take the left heel away from the floor? And after it feels like you're doing that in a kind of casual, easy way, then begin taking the head to the right, as before, and feel how those two movements can become unified. Not asking yourself to juggle, not doing two movements, but really initiating one movement that brings them all together. And if you feel the weight pouring over onto the right half of your pelvis, then you're probably doing less side bending. And so notice that. Notice how your ribs are maintaining a kind of fixed relationship with each other as you're doing this. You might also side bend as you do this. You might take the right ribs closer to each other. You might take the right shoulder closer to the right hip. And that's another way to tap into this. Just find out what you're doing. And pause for a moment. And before you do this movement, try to imagine what it's going to feel like. And you're going to lift the left heel from the floor like you've been doing, but you want to marry that to taking the head to the left as you do this, and taking the left ear closer to the left hip as you do this. So we'll be side bending to the left as you lift the left heel. And this is going to ask different things of your rib cage. It's going to ask different things of your system. You're going to probably have to make a more explicit decision about whether you're lifting the left hip or the left half of the pelvis away from the chair or not. Just go ahead and do it. Pay attention to what you're doing, keeping the breathing light. And after you visualize the movement a few times, begin doing it. And see if there are details that you didn't imagine. When you imagined lifting the left heel and taking the head to the left, did you notice what's happening in your right arm? Notice what's happening in your feet. The rest of your feet, I should say. Are you coordinating this with your breathing, or are you completely uncoupled from your breathing? And then pausing once more, we're going to add in the perhaps a little trickier movement of taking the left butt cheek away from the seat as you lift the left heel, as you bend to the left, as you take the head to the left. Try to put all those together. You're lifting the left heel, you're taking the left ear towards the left heel as that happens, but you're also lifting your left half of the pelvis away from the chair a little bit. Yeah, play with it. And then let your feet come back to the floor. Feel your two footprints. And once or twice, let yourself smoothly go left and right. Take your head to the right and notice how it lifts the left half of your pelvis away from the seat a little bit. And take your head to the left and notice how it takes the right half of your pelvis away from the seat a little bit. Just go back and forth. First, noticing what I describe, and then making the movement smaller and smaller. See how little you need to rock to either side to feel your pelvis change its contact with the chair. And as is often the case in Feldenkrais method, less is more. If you can feel a change in your seat with only a half degree of movement of the head, that is preferable to feeling the same kind of thing with a 5 degree movement of the head. And challenge yourself to feel more with doing less. And then have another rest. Have a good one. I guess another image is the Jack in the Box. I think most of us will know what that toy looks like. You turn a hand crank and then the spring with a little head on top of it pops out of the box. And because the Jack in the Box, Jack of the Jack in the Box, because it's on top of a spring, if it bends to the right, then the coils of the spring get closer to each other on the right side, and they get further away from each other on the left side. It's the same kind of image of an accordion bellow. It's the same kind of image of your rib cage as you side bend. I don't offer the image because it's an explicit, accurate description of your rib cage. I offer the image because the movement that's captured in this image is something similar to what you can feel in yourself. The goal is to feel in yourself the reciprocal relationship between getting longer on one side and getting shorter on the other side. Go ahead and come back to the front of your chair. I should change the way I phrase that. Come forward again on your chair. Feel your two footprints. Let your hands rest on your thighs and begin exploring how to slide your hands over your knees and down your shins. And as always, I'm not asking you to stretch or to try to go very far. So go back and forth and explore what's comfortable for you here. Everyone in the room looks like they can comfortably touch their knees and slide their hands forward. That means that for most of us, we can find a place where our wrists are resting on our thighs. Maybe for some of us, we can even find places where our forearms are resting on our thighs. Maybe we can put our elbows down onto the thighs. Go ahead and play with this movement, looking for easier and easier ways to rest your lower arms on your upper legs. I mentioned last time, Feldenkrais wrote about how posture was a problematic concept. When we're sitting in chairs, we get the idea from our culture that we shouldn't slouch. A major way that people slouch in chairs is letting their weight come forward like this. And what I'm offering to you now is a few minutes to really master your slouch. Because it's not about not slouching, it's about slouching in a way that works for you. It's about slouching in a way that lets you function and that gives you rest from sitting or doing some other thing. So continue to explore how to slide your hands forward along your legs until you find a nice resting spot for your arms on your thighs. And when you have found the resting spot, go ahead and rest there. It's probably going to be nice to let your head hang a little bit in a neutral way, to put some weight into your thighs through your forearms. Don't need to sit upright. Don't need to sit straight. How can you get support from yourself like this? And then weaving your forearms on the thighs, but as always, taking a rest from this position whenever you feel like it, begin again to lift your right heel. And leave your eyes directed forward as you do this. Leave your head hanging somewhere in the forward direction as you do this. And notice how when you lift your right heel, that it makes your right arm lift a little bit. That makes your right shoulder move a little bit. Are you holding your breath as you do this? Begin turning your head to the right as you lift the right heel. And see if you can connect those two movements in a way that feels harmonious. Play with the opposite movement. Try taking your nose to the left as you lift your right heel and see if you can connect those movements in a way that feels harmonious. Does one of those two options seem more natural, more organic? More compatible with you? You can alternate between them. Decide for yourself what you prefer. Decide for yourself. And give yourself a rest. And when you're ready to resume, come to the same position with yourself forward on the chair, your feet on the floor. Let your wrists or forearms or elbows come down onto the thighs. Your head leans forward. So it's like your arms are holding up your head by leaning onto the thighs. And begin lifting the left heel from the floor and putting it back. Noticing how when you lift the left heel, it lifts the arm. It encourages some movement of the left shoulder. And as before, begin turning your head to the left as you lift the left heel and see if those two movements can connect. And then compare that with turning your head to the right as you lift the left heel. And a few times after you've touched base with these movements, then a few times you can try one and then the other and really convince yourself that you prefer one of the two options. And it's not that you prefer it aesthetically, it's that it just seems simpler. It seems like less effort, less juggling, less coordination required. And let that go and straighten up enough that it's just your hands on your thighs. Let your hands rest on the thighs. Your arms can be straight or your elbows can be bent. Go ahead and lift the right foot from the floor as we did at the start. And do this in the simplest way you can put together right now. Perhaps leaning backwards a little bit onto the left side of the pelvis to make it easier to lift the right foot. It could be easier to lift the right foot if you use your whole self. If you take your head to the left a little bit as you do that. If you lean onto the left half of the pelvis a little bit as you do that. But that's just a suggestion. Go ahead and feel for yourself what is comfortable right now. And then begin to do the same thing, lifting the left foot. Notice how you roll backward onto the right half of the pelvis. Taking the head a little bit to the right. And let that stop. Try to lift just the right outer edge of the right foot. It's like you're rolling the weight of the right foot onto the right big toe. When you do that, is it easier to do it if you also take your head to the left? Can you roll your foot on the floor by taking your entire self a little bit to the left? Pivoting on your pelvis, on the chair. And then letting that go. Just lift the right half of your pelvis away from the seat. And see what else you do to facilitate that. You're just trying to, in a simple way, put the weight more onto the left half of your pelvis. And always take a pause if you feel like you need to rest your back at all. But when you're ready, begin lifting the left half, left edge of the left foot away from the floor, rolling your weight onto the left big toe, to the inside of the foot. And notice how you want to do it onto that side. Is it easier if you take your head to the right as you do this? And then finish with lifting the left half of your pelvis away from the seat and putting it back. And a few times lift your left foot and then your right foot in alternation, like you're walking. And notice that when you lift your right foot like this, that your right shoulder comes up with it. And when you lift your left foot like this, your left shoulder comes up with it. How is this like walking? How is this not like walking? So that's it for the lesson. Go ahead and rest like this. And think about what it's going to be like to come to standing and to walk around. It's tempting at the end of a Feldenkrais class to jump to your feet and leave the room, but it's the next couple minutes where we try to sink in, where we try to retain whatever parts of the organization are good for us. And to do that, we think about coming to standing and then we do it. We put our weight onto our feet. We walk around the room, being aware of the weight on our feet. And where our head is in space, are we looking down, are we looking up, or are we looking at the horizon? And for human movement in walking, when the head is roughly vertical, the inner ear is registering, the head's roughly vertical, the eyes are showing us where the horizon is, that we're looking forward, then the nervous system's going to take the information about what the rest of you is doing in those actions and will try to put it together in a way that it remembers and it can benefit you in the long run. And this is the kind of ambitious part of Feldenkrais method, is we're not trying to do exercises which build muscle tone and which we have to maintain over time. We're trying to learn different neurological organization and to remember it. We're trying to change our unconscious movement patterns as well as our conscious ones. And it's to get those unconscious movement patterns properly recalibrated, this walking part's very important. So try to stay in the space where you're just feeling your feet on the floor, noticing where your head is in space, not thinking about what happens next in your day. Go ahead and begin to do that, please. Come to standing and walk around a little bit. And as always, I'm available for questions. Thank you.